Hello and thanks once again for taking the time to download and listen to our podcast on CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady and this is podcast number 254. Some people might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I've got. So we've played our first couple of Champions League games. The school holidays in Scotland anyway are two-thirds of the way through, and the Glasgow Fair is just about to end. The season starts on Saturday. So of course, one of the most important things to do before all of that starts is to have the Celtic Underground top 10 players for 2014-15. And we have to get that out of the way before the season starts, so we decided to get our team together. The voting panel consisted of 17 people, and of course I cannot reveal the names to avoid any attempts to bribe or corrupt the very delicate situation which results in Samaras winning most years. However, even the Celtic Underground Player of the Year voting panel could not find a way to have Samaras as Player of the Year this season. So, who will be in our top 10? Holidays, work commitments and other things prevented some members of the panel discussing it. So we have the stalwart and memory man of more seasons than most, Mr. Lackey Moore from the Celtic Underground panel, and also who voted on the panel but on a loan from the Ad By The Min Celtic podcast, Mr. Remy McSwain. So on the podcast, you'll hear me going through the players who represented Celtic last season. I think I missed a couple, including Berget or whatever his name was. But the squad's mentioned, the top 10's about to begin, and over the next hour or so, you'll see how everyone voted, where the players are in the top 10, and who was the Celtic Underground Player of the Year 2014-15. So that's enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady, with him, Lackey Moore, and him, Mr. Remy McSwain. So finally, we're about to go into the new season, but before the new season starts, we have to finish the old season, which means the Celtic Underground top 10 players of season 2014-15. A combination of holidays and can't be bothered from other members of the voting panel means that tonight we have Lackey Moore, and on loan from the At The By The Min podcast, we have Mr. Remy McSwain. So how are you doing, gentlemen? Lackey, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Fine, how are you?
I'm excellent. And Lackey and Remy, what's it like to be on a quality podcast?
Well, I'm very nervous. I'm like the first-time caller on Radio Clyde. You know, I've never spoken to such a big audience.
Exactly. So we have the top 10 players for season 2014-15. To remind everybody, I'm going to very quickly run through the squad in position order.
The whole squad?
Aye, but just very quickly. All 40 of them, as Ronnie Dyler complained, there was too many. So the panel was voting from Lucas Zaluska, Craig Gordon, Fasan, Matthews, Izaguirre, Ambrose, Van Dijk, Denier, Lustig, O'Connell, Finlay, Fisher, Joe Chalmers, Jack Breslin, Callum Waters. This is from the Celtic website. Niamh Beaton, Scott Brown, Bo Richter, Stuart Armstrong, Chris Commons, Guy Mackay-Stephen, Rodgick, Charlie Mulgrew, Johansson, Tonev, Michael Duffy, John Herron, Wacasso, Jackson Irvine, Callum McGregor, Dylan McGeoch, James Forrest, Joe Thompson, Liam Henderson, Jamie Lindsay, Kieran Tierney, and finally, John Guidetti, Anthony Stokes, Stefan Skepovic, Amido Baldi, Holmbot, Fjordason, Timo Pukki, Lee Griffiths, Paul McMullen. So those are the players that we voted for or voted from. Now, the guys don't know the order of the top 10, so I'm going to reveal it in reverse order and then ask for their comments on the players' input into the season. So I'm going to do the bottom three players first. So that's position 10 through to 8. So I will give those, and then Remy, I'll ask you first for your opinion on the three players and your thoughts on their position. So in 10th place was Gary Mackay-Stephen. In joint 8th place was Izzy Gary and Chris Commons. So Remy, Mackay-Stephen played half the season, gets in 10th place. Chris Commons injured quite a bit of the season, and Izzy Gary tied for 8th. Your thoughts on those players and what they did?
I can see why Mackay-Stephen is 10th, and I think a lot of people would maybe have followed the same sort of principles as me. If you've not only played half a season or a few games, you're discounted. But in Mackay-Stephen, he has impressed me more than I thought he would have. I thought he was a breath of fresh air when he came in, because he absolutely looked delighted to be playing for us, and he plays with a smile on his face, and he scored some cracking goals, and he played well in some big games. So I think I had him a wee bit higher than 10th, but he definitely made my list, and I think he deserved to be in the top 10, because I think he had a very good start to his Celtic career. As a Geary, pretty poor in Europe, but I think, you know, that's a broken down record, but everybody says that all the time. But domestically, he was pretty good in the main, and he plays every game. So I think he's always going to get in, but given the amount of performance games he actually plays. So no real issue, a problem with him being where he is. Commons has obviously slipped down, because he started the season terribly. It looked as if he was on the way out, and he was getting a lot of praise in the media from his media pals like Sutton and Hartson, who were, you know, telling Dyla that he should have played him in key games, and forgetting the fact that he did play him in those games and we'd maybe lost them.
Aye.
But he did score. Again, he scored quite a few goals. You know, you can't keep him down. He has a tremendous shot. He's not got the pace to play Champions League or high level football for us, and he's not, you know, he's never going to adapt to the pressing game. But he definitely did adapt his game to the way Ronnie Dyla wanted to play. And I think overall, a joint eighth would be about fair for him, because I think he scored over. I mean, he was in double figures again this year. I mean, I don't know what his final total was, Harry, but maybe about 15. So that was about half of what he got the year before. But, the team wasn't geared around him this year. And he was okay. So top eight. I've got no real quibble with that.
16 goals.
16, well, that's not a bad, but that's still pretty good for a midfielder.
Lackey, your thoughts on Mackay-Stephen, Izaguirre and Commons? Because what's interesting is the votes that those guys got from the majority of people, they were... So Mackay-Stephens, nobody voted for him above their 8th best player. People either didn't vote for him or had him in 10th, 9th or 8th position. Izzy Gary, either people didn't vote for him or he was in 8th, 9th or 10th position, with the exception of yourself, Lackey, who had him quite a bit higher. And again, Commons... nobody voted for him, or he was in 8th, 9th or 10th position.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Zenian is right about Mackay-Stephens. I think the fact that he only played for half the season would make you think about including him, but he was, as Remy says, a breath of fresh air. But I thought that Izzy Gary was much maligned, and I was interested to see a comment today on Twitter. I can't remember who made it, that some players are just going to get a hard time from the Celtic crowd nowadays. It doesn't matter what they do. And I thought that Izzy Gary had fallen into that category, because I don't think he was nearly as bad as people said throughout the season. Chris Commons, as you know, I think is a scorer of great goals, but I don't know that he does an awful lot apart from that. I mean, last night he took a tremendous corner, and he can take good set pieces, but he doesn't do an awful lot apart from scoring great goals.
The thing about Izaguirre that I think, because I voted for him and he played every game and he works hard, I suppose part of the issue for Izaguirre may be he's not the greatest defender, and we excuse that because he's up the park so much. I mean, I would say he's further up the park than Lustig goes, or is more regularly further up the park. The problem then is he's not a great cross of the ball either.
He's not as good as he used to be.
No, so you've got a guy who works hard, and we excuse him being not a great defender because he's up the park so much. And we excuse him not putting great crosses in because he's a defender. So what he's actually doing, he's not quite a perfect defender and not quite a perfect attacker.
I listened last night to the Celtic TV commentary, because they'd give a sound commentary of the game. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Mick McManus, what was his first name?
Stephen.
He kept calling him Mick. That's what she's using. Stephen McManus made the point that he wasn't going as far forward as he needed to cause trouble to that defence. And I thought perhaps he'd get caught between a rock and a hard place, that he knew he was under a lot of criticism for being a pure defender. But he wasn't prepared to take the extra bit and go beyond them in case he got caught out coming back. I think he's in a position at the moment where he doesn't know whether to twist their stick in terms of the way he plays. But I still think he's a really nice footballer.
You were at the game last night, Remy. I suppose what's interesting for me is I don't rate Mulgrew as a left back. I think Mulgrew plays a centre half, left back, and midfield, and his worst position out of the three is left back. Yet it's fairly obvious that the only reason Izzy played last night was because Mulgrew didn't.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I mean, if Mulgrew had not got injured on Saturday, I'm pretty certain he'd have started last night. And I think what Lackey's saying is, you know, is right, that he didn't go as forward as much last night, although I think that could be said for a lot of the team. We were pretty, I mean, I know you don't want to do a bit in-depth analysis of last night, but we were pretty cautious all over the pitch. Mm-hmm. You know, and Brown and Beaton didn't go forward much in the first half, and Van Dijk didn't start going forward till midway through the second half. But as he, you know, he does get... He's kind of one of these guys that he loves being at Celtic, and you know, a lot of the supporters love him, you know, and he comes over at the end, and he's always the last off the park, and he throws his strip to kids and things like that, and he, you know, people love him and don't really want, I think a lot of people don't want to criticise him because he comes over as such a nice guy, and he's you know, his first season was tremendous, you know, and then he got a horrible injury playing for us.
Yeah.
But last night he was okay. You know, he wasn't great, but he was okay. You know, I mean, we had a lot of players who didn't cover themselves in glory last night, but he was fine. And I don't know what sort of big statistics you've got in front of you there, Harry, but although his crossing is, I'll be generous and say inconsistent, he still makes quite a lot of goals. And he actually makes quite a lot of goals with his right foot, which is, you know, when he cuts back onto his right foot and delivers it with his right foot, he seems to... make some more goals than he does with his left. But I think part of the problem he has is that there's hardly ever any to hit in the box. You know, and Chifty did it last night as well. He was away out in the wing. You know, and sometimes there's no point in Mackay Stephen or Armstrong or Forrest beating their fullback to whip in a cross to nobody. You know, and that's... It took us quite a lot of time last year to realise that, you know, when we got to the byline, not to try and play it across the front. We started pulling them back the way to people arriving late, and we scored a few goals that way. We scored against Inter Milan doing that, and Matthews pulled back a few balls. You know, I think St Mirren away was one I can remember pretty vividly because that was quite a big goal.
Yeah.
So we don't have a striker to hit properly.
He scored twice last week, didn't he? In the away game.
Yeah, pulled it back. Mulgrew pulled it back. Yep.
And Johansson's goal as well.
Yeah, so you know, I thought Mulgrew had a very good game in Iceland, you know, but I think he's okay at left back against not so good teams, I think it's fair to say. But you know, yeah. I think left back is a position that we really do need to address in this transfer window.
Yeah, and your point, Remy, about Chris Commons and his mates in the media. Funnily enough, we were talking last night about sometimes players and pundits who, from their chat, they're patently going to every Celtic game, yet they seem to be oblivious to really obvious stuff about Chris Commons doesn't fit with the dialer system and works coming on as a sub when the game's changed or we're wanting to change the game. And yet, as you say, that the guys in the media are talking about why is he not playing Chris Commons in games that he did play Chris Commons.
Yeah, I mean, it's that we would have beaten Maribor if Chris Commons played. Well, he was on and we lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's just weird to, you know, a wee bit of fact, I mean, a bit of fact checking would be able to back up. You know, they could maybe at least try and put some back up to their opinion. But when you make a statement as stupid as that, nobody's going to fall for it. And, you know, and Sutton, of course, he went way over the top for months on Dialer, you know. So, and I think he was just using Commons as his main argument that why Dialer was failing. And, you know, we weren't playing well at that point of the season, but, you know, it was just a stupid argument that we would be a better team with Commons in it.
There's another thing I'm always puzzled by, the way the press tried to stir things up. They're doing it with Griffiths at the moment. They did it with Commons about the fact that he comes on as a sub. Now, there are clearly some players who, when they come on for that last half hour, 20 minutes, they'll win the game for you because they're great subs. And I don't think players should take it amiss as long as they're getting that and contributing.
Well, the famous two players you can think of in the last 20 years in that, and I was talking about this at the game last night, are Torre André Flo at Chelsea, who, when he started a game, was not great. Hence the reason why everybody knew Rangers were stupid to pay £12 million for him, because he was always a better sub than anything else. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Man United, who was a much better sub.
Yeah.
And David Fairclough. Fairclough back in the day. I mean,
now you are showing your age.
Yeah, I know, but he was super. He was the original super sub, you know.
Yeah.
But that was because he had that quality of coming on when the defence is tiring and really using his speed and his ability to put him to the sword. And I don't think that's a bad thing. If that's the contribution you can make and you're getting it every week, why make a fuss about it?
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think Commons, as you say, Harry, doesn't fit properly in the system we're trying to play, but I think he will be used more as a sub. And you know, when you're struggling in the SPL games, or like we were struggling last night, I mean, he hit the first corner or cross ball we put right on top of that keeper, and the keeper got nowhere near it, mm-hmm. and we scored. And he will get you goals out of nothing. Like Carrigandy a couple of years ago, when we were really struggling, and he whacked one in for about 25 yards. Mm-hmm. No one else in our team can do that yet. And, you know, I think, as an impact sub, if he's happy to sit and play 20, 25 minutes most weeks and, you know, be in the League Cup team or whatever, then he's a good guy to have around for another year.
And he was a top assist last season when Chris Commons was 7 assists.
I would have thought Stokes would have had more than that, but there you go.
Yes, that's so true.
So, one other player just to comment on is a guy who wasn't getting a game. He wasn't a first team guy in the team sheet for Dundee United. People knew he was a talented player. Gary Mackay-Steven. I'm really surprised at the impact he's made. Remy, did you think he was going to be a star who would be first choice and patently replace James Forrest and Callum McGregor?
You could replace Callum McGregor.
Can I just say, yep, before we go on, we had one vote for Callum McGregor.
Does Mrs. McGregor write for the Celtic Underground, yeah?
We had one vote for someone who, their excuse was, actually, the first four or, similar to a conversation you and I had, Remy, the first four or five places that you put in your top 10 were easy to use. Thereafter, everyone was much as a muchness. And hey, McGregor, I suppose he did start some games early on.
Yeah, and he scored a few goals early on. But once they dried up, you know, he looked a limited player. But Mackay-Steven, I have to, you know, I can't deny You know, I was a sceptic on his signing. I thought he would be a squad player for us, and I didn't think he would make the impact he had. And you know, people get really upset about, oh, you've said this guy's rubbish, or you don't rate him. You know, what if you're wrong? Well, who cares? Eh? You're delighted if you're wrong, because if he's playing really well, who cares if you're wrong on the internet? You know, it's like you argue with your mates in the pub, or, you know, I mean, you're sitting in the stand at the game about certain players. Everybody wants every player to succeed. And Mackay Stephen has surprised me as well, Harry. I think he's, some of his goals, I mean, I knew he had a lot of flicks and tricks, because, you know, I'd seen all his YouTube stuff, but he's faster than I thought he was, and he has played well in some pretty big games, and he has scored some very, very good goals. He's finished them really well, and, you know, he started the season pretty, he didn't have much of a game last night, but he wasn't alone there, but in certain the pre-season friendlies, he looked like lightning quick, and his goal against Real Sociedad was a beauty, you know, it was a great finish, and he looks delighted to be with us, and he looks as if he could make it with us.
And he looks like he's enjoying every single second,
yeah,
as you see.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
One of the comments that McManus made about him last night was that while he wasn't as potent as he'd been in other games, he gave his fullback a lot of cover. He helped eliminate any threat up the right wing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think that's what we were touching on earlier. We were pretty, I'm not going to say negative, but we weren't as gung-ho as we often are in home European ties, and we did keep it tight. It was pretty obvious that we did not want to lose a goal last night. And he did do a lot of defensive work last night.
Right, well, after doing the first three and running through, I'm going to go through the next three players, which includes the only striker in our top 10. So, in seventh place is the only striker in our top 10, scorer of 20 goals, 14 in the league, 20 goals, and provider of, he's further down than I thought he was, according to the wiki, the Celtic wiki, provider of two, or the Wikipedia, provider of just two assists, Mr. Lee Griffiths, followed by Nir Beaton, and then in fifth place, Virgil van Dijk.
Oh, come on.
Hey, it's the vote. It's the vote of the masses.
Just because he's leaving, everybody's voting for him.
So, let's go through it in order. Lackey, Lee Griffiths. Lee Griffiths started a fringe player who could get the odd game from the bench, then couldn't even get onto the bench, and ended up being, well, last night people were chanting his name to come onto the park. Were you one of the people who didn't want Lee Griffiths to come to Celtic in the first place? Played 41 games, 20 goals, 24 appearances in the league.
I was one of those who didn't want him to come to Celtic. Not because of his ability, but because of the garbage that went with him at the time. But once he came, I felt, well, he's ours. And it's up to Celtic to help him mature and protect him from that stuff that went along with him. And I think, by and large, they've succeeded. I mean, there's still a sort of residue of cases from before he came, but I think he settled down and tried to fit into being a Celtic player. I think the reason that he and Beaton would be low and in that list is because really effectively they didn't play a whole season, because I remember we did a podcast just before Christmas and I said I couldn't understand why Beaton wasn't getting a game or Griffith. I wonder what they'd done wrong, because they weren't even getting near the team. And then with this thing about them both having talks with the manager and they appear and they were successes.
Well, which is interesting, because it's Mackay Stephens, Commons, Griffiths, Beaton are three of the players who that are in the bottom half of the top 10 who sort of played roughly half a season. And then you've also got Armstrong, who didn't make it, had some votes from some people but didn't quite get the same number of votes that Mackay Stephen got. So Remy, your thoughts on Griffiths, did you want him?
No. I didn't want him. I didn't think he was good enough. He's got a good left foot, but you know he hadn't really exactly set the heather on fire at Wolverhampton. I know he'd scored about 10 or 12 goals, but you know they were desperate to get rid of him, which is probably due to his then off-field proclivities. And I thought that was the last thing we needed at that time. And I also
did you like he didn't want him because of his everything about him, his morality, for want of a better way of putting it. You didn't want him because of his football ability?
As well, yeah. Well, I was, apart from his, you know, you just touched on about his morality issues, you know, I think we'd all seen the tweet, so we knew his views on certain subjects, and I didn't think he would be able to cut it at a higher level. I'd seen him playing a couple of games for Scotland, and to be frank, he was rank rotten. And I didn't think he would be able to perform at a higher level for us. And the interesting thing was when he did start the season last year, he was playing in the European games. And didn't do a lot. In his defence, he wasn't playing striker or something. He was out left wing or right wing or whatever, which he certainly didn't suit him. And you know, and then he just disappeared from the team. And he, as you said, when in your sort of wee intro there, he wasn't even getting on the bench. And you know, I thought at that time his Celtic career might be over. And then he came back. I think it was a Red Bull Salzburg game he came back for in Europe again, and he missed a good chance.
He played well that night, though.
He played all right, but he missed a chance, and you know that's where I had my doubts about him. Is that, you know, in big games, you know when you don't get a lot of chances, you need your striker to score, and he didn't. I mean, that wasn't a criticism, but he got back. He obviously worked his backside off to get into the team, and you've got to take your hat off for that. He definitely showed the attitude and the application that the manager wanted, and he got back in, and he took his chance after Christmas. He became, you know, at the time, Guidetti, who I'm assuming is not in the top five, sort of down tools. It was perfect time for Griffiths to up his game and make the spot his own, and he did. Now, you know, I thought he was poor against Inter Milan that night. So again, my doubts remain about him performing at a higher level. But for the SPFL, you know, you can't fault him. He's a good goal scorer at that level.
There's an interesting point you make there about mentioning Guidetti in the same breath, because I was just thinking about the Inter Milan game that Griffiths played in that game. Guidetti, who had chucked it in the league, he did get one chance in the Inter Milan game,
and he finished it.
And I remember at that point thinking, are you a good player who just hasn't been asked to play for us since November? Because good players, you know, it's a point one of my mates always makes. If you look at the Champions League, any game where a top team plays in the Champions League and it's tight and they win it by a goal, the winning goal will always be by the 20, 30 million pound striker of the very top teams. Because when it comes down to it, when it really matters, those guys deliver.
They finished. Yeah. And that's but Commons scores a whack of goals in the SPFL, and he scored a few goals in the Champions League qualifiers, but when it goes up against the top sides, he's not a threat.
And also, you know? Last night, the guy next to me was going on and on and on and on about Griffiths should be playing ahead of Chieftey. Now, one of the things that gets me about football, I'm not always saying I agree with a manager's decision, but I can never understand sometimes when fans don't understand the rationale behind a manager's decision. So I'm saying to the guy, well, I couldn't say whether between Chieftey or Griffiths, but what I could say, because he's saying, I've no idea where he's playing. I say, well, I know why he's playing. He's playing because he can hold the ball up better than Griffiths can. And about 5 minutes after Griffiths came on, I don't know if you remember it, it was in the main stand side, the ball was played up on the left-hand side to Griffiths, who was just inside their half.
Yeah.
And the ball, 3 seconds later, they were back, bringing the ball back to us. Yep. And I turned to the guy and I said, that's why Griffiths isn't playing.
When he took the ball down near the corner flag near the end, you know, you're expecting the Kenny Dalglish bum stuck out and you're not getting the ball off me and I'll get a shy or a corner. He lost the ball right away.
Yeah.
He just threw the ball off him.
He thought, right, I know what to do. Well, one, I'm going to take the ball into the corner flag. But, compare him to, sadly, will not be in our top 10, but Samaras. I was going.
Good.
Exactly. Samaras and Chris Sutton are the two best players I have ever seen playing for Celtic for taking the ball into the corner flag. Samaras could take the ball in, get a throw in, take the ball in, get a corner, take the corner, get another throw in. Samaras could waste 2 minutes in the corner flag. He was brilliant at it. I suppose, Lackey, the counter that people would say is there still a place in modern football for choosing players based on morality?
Well, it's increasingly not. It would seem so. The thing I would say, just to go back to something you said earlier, I didn't rate Gaudete that much. I watched him in the European Championships, played for the Swedes. It was the under-21s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. He really took me by surprise.
Did you not think he looked as if he'd lost a bit of stone as well?
He was a far better player for them than he ever was for the Celtic.
I just thought he realised he wasn't going to be with us from November on,
yeah,
and thought to himself, I'll be able to get a better club than this, or in his eyes, a better club, i.e. earning more money.
I think that's it. I don't think he thought he could get a better club. I think he thought he could get a bigger wage.
And just down tools, effectively.
Yeah.
So beat on, Lackey.
That's it, by the way.
Celta Vigo. 5-year contract at Celta Vigo.
I knew he was looking at Spain.
So, Beaton, Lackey, you were calling for Beaton.
I was,
And he got in the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing an At the Buy Them In podcast with yourself, Remy, saying that him coming into the team was one of the turning points in our season.
Yep. I think we even Lawrence agreed on that one, I think.
He did, even yes.
Though, although it was, I mean, to be fair, he only got in the team because Mulgrew got injured.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have got his chance if Mulgrew had remained fit. But you know, at the start of the season when Brown wasn't there and we played Mulgrew and Johansson and as your two, it just wasn't working, and it was plainly wasn't working. And Beaton coming in and Johansson going further forward totally changed the way we played. But I'll let Lackey have his say, because he obviously, I don't want to sort of cut across his train of thought there.
Well, I was beating the drum from, because I said to you months ago, I'd watched an awful lot of video of him when he played in Israel for the Israeli international team. And I still think there's more to him than we're seeing. I think he's fitting into the plan the manager wants. But there are indications he's capable of going forward and getting goals and things like that. But my concern at the time was that even when Charlie's playing at his best, he still wants to hit these quarterback passes, which just give the ball away and put us under pressure. Not all of those 60-yard passes reach a Celtic player. They look, he did it several times last week over in Iceland, big cross-field passes that looked great till he suddenly realised the fullback collected it, not the winger. And Beaton doesn't do that so much. He's a much tidier player. So, in a sense, he protects the back four better than Charlie does. But I think there's a lot of ability there that's still untapped.
So, talking in back four, in fifth place, mid-table, mediocrity in our top 10, Remy, and you were not happy at his position, because where did you have him?
I had him third.
You had him third. Virgil van Dijk. So, why are you complaining, and why do you think other people didn't have him higher?
I think people know now that he wants to leave. Well, they knew last season he wanted to leave, but you know, he knuckled down and got on with it. You know, as you know, Celtic are perfectly entitled to say, you know, you've signed a contract and we're not selling you this year. He had a few bad games in Europe,
mm-hmm,
which people will appear to hold against them, and the fact that everybody, you know, it's an open secret, I mean, he's going before the end of the transfer window. if we get the right offer. And I think people will, I'm not saying everybody does, but you know, it can be at the forefront of your mind when you're thinking, he's an archy git and he's going. So I'm just going to stick him in the middle there. But you know, he's the best player in Scotland. He is technically the best player in Scotland. His biggest issue I have with him is he thinks it's beneath him sometimes, and his concentration lets him down. And he did it again last night, and he got booked for it because he tried to muscle the guy off the ball. It didn't work. The guy took the ball off him, and he had to pull him back. And he conceded a foul on a dangerous position, and he picked up a stupid yellow. He does that a lot.
10 goals. He contributed up front, 10 goals last season.
Yeah, fantastic. For the free kicks he was scoring were just superb, and the way he does hit the quarterback balls you were talking about, Lackey, but 9 times out of 10 has land accurately. He's imperious at his best. He's a fantastic player, and you know, I think he's not going to go to the top level in the EPL. He's not going to go to a top 6 team, but I think if he has a good season down there, somebody will buy him.
I agree. He's a tremendous ability. But I felt, you know, when they talk about the poor games they had in Europe, I thought it was interesting. I thought Denier was a much more effective defender in Europe than he was, because Denier's purpose was to defend, whereas Virgil thinks he's too, sometimes it's beneath him to defend. But the ordering off against Inter Milan was just stupid for a so-called experienced would-be international defender. And sometimes he made very, as you see last night, very stupid, arrogant decisions that cost us dear. So he's a great footballer, but I'm not sure he's a great defender.
I suppose from that perspective, Lackey, the reason why I didn't have him higher is, touching on Remy's point there, and I'm touching on your point, he actually, I think he's a better player than at times he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an element of a marked him down because he could do better.
Mm-hmm. He could do better by focusing on the main things we're paying him for. If he was a truly imperious defender against the best players and had those other strengths that Remy talked about, the ability to hit great passes, the ability to score great goals, then he would be a top player. But at the moment, that thing that folk are paying him for, to be a centre-half, there are flaws there.
Oh, there are definitely flaws. I mean, and that's why we've got him. I mean, games like Aberdeen away last year, when, you know, we were under the cosh with 10 men, you know, his defending was brilliant, and then he scored the winning goal.
Yep.
And then he scored the winning goal. So when his mind's on it,
exactly,
he's got it all. He has it all, and, you know, I think sometimes he just, Ross County, going to be easy, and then the next minute he's lost concentration. We get away with that in the SPL because, you know, the guy doesn't go through and finish it. But, you know, when he did it, when he switched off in the first 5 minutes against Inter Milan, we're a goal down.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it with good players, and I think the only way he will develop is to play against better strikers every week to make him switch on.
I think that's the point. The point you made is exactly what I'm trying to say. You would imagine, though, when he was playing in the European ties, that he would have been fully switched on, because he was aware this was a higher level and that we needed the best of his, the best that he had to bring to the party. And yet he made so many bad decisions in the European ties. It really made you wonder.
Sorry, Harry, on you go.
No, I was going to say, a friend of mine, his son plays for Motherwell, one of the youngsters at Motherwell,
yeah,
and came on in the first game when Motherwell played at Celtic Park last season. I can't remember what the score was.
I think they drew it. I think that was, that the draw, the one each draw?
Was it the one each draw? Anyway.
We beat them 5-0 the second time.
No, it was the second time. It was a 5-0 game, and the guy that I know, his friend's son, came on and played up front for Motherwell. And he said that playing against Van Dijk, he said it was almost as if Van Dijk played with an invisible force field around him. you know, you were trying to get a ball because Celtic play at the back, and his job was to close down because he was playing up front. Can't remember the guy's name. He said he would go to get Denier, and he'd get close to him and you'd hassle him, but Denier had ability and he was better than him and he could play out and pass out. He said, but Van Dijk, it was almost as if he couldn't even get close to him. Just, he was just, his whole body was excellent at holding players off, better than Denier. Which gets me into a question for both of you. Who would you say is a better player, Van Dijk or Denier? Remy?
I'd say that Denier's the better defender, but Van Dijk's the better player.
Lucky?
I'd say him.
Right. Who, if you had to choose one of them...
I think Denier will go further in the game.
Yeah, but Van Dijk, if somebody came along and said, middle of last season, we get to keep one of those players for the next 6 months only. Which one is it going to be? Denier or Van Dijk? Who would you have chosen at Christmas to be? One of them's going to get a broken leg. Which one plays? Which one would you prefer to play? Remy, which one would you have picked?
Van Dijk.
Lucky. So would I. And probably so would most people. Yet, strangely enough, Denier finished in fourth place in our top 10 players, one place above Van Dijk.
Well, I think when Denier came back from his injury, he was even better than he'd been before. I don't know why. He seemed to be stronger and more switched on. His defending in the second part of the season was outstanding.
Remy, your thoughts on how Denier has finished above Van Dijk?
I would
reckon if you asked most people, they would give the same answer that the three of us have given.
I agree totally with Lackey. Denier was much better when he came back from his injury, and the second half of the season, some of the performances he gave were tremendous. And I think the game that really made him was away at the San Siro when Van Dijk was sent off, and you know, you've got a 19-year-old guy organising your defence, and he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant that night, and he wasn't trying to be the I'll bring the ball out from the back and beat three men and, you know, pass Johansson and Mackay Stephen or whoever on the way up. He just played as a defender, and he just defended. He got the blocks in, the tackles. He organised more experienced players than him, and he had a tremendous game, and he had an absolutely superb running in the season. And that does stick in people's mind, you know, because when you're trying to review the season, you do remember the more recent games. I mean, for example, Stokes hasn't been mentioned, or Guidetti, but they had no bad first halves of the season before they disappeared off the scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just say, Remy, you're on the podcast with the one person who voted for Stokes, and it wasn't. And it
I didn't think you would vote for him. No. I'm waiting for your James Forrest Player of the Year post.
No. In fact, the giveaway of my thoughts on Forrest were last night during the game. I did a couple of 5 minute spells on Twitter of showing the game live.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw those posts, but I wasn't. I didn't go in because obviously the game was on, but I did see them.
And because we're 4 minutes to, I've never been at a Champions League game that doesn't have 4 minutes of injury time. So with 4 minutes to go, I thought I'll be able to do the last 8 minutes here because there'll be 4 minutes of the game and 4 minutes of injury time. Put it on because it uses tons of battery. And Forrest's tactic is knock the ball past the fullback and then beat him for pace. Mm-hmm. And the problem last night was he couldn't beat the guys for pace. So he was as useless as me. And me and everybody else around him, at one point Forrest did it and everybody shouted, "Oh, for F's sake, Forrest." So I did have to apologise to people on the stream for it. So no, Forrest isn't in our team. But I do wonder whether the Van Dijk Denier thing is also expectation. Denier came as a loan, 19-year-old loanee from Man City, and Van Dijk was the player that we might sell for 10 million quid.
Yeah.
So people also vote based on their expectation of what they're going to get from a 19-year-old on loan who's never played first-team football, really, of any sort, and Van Dijk, who we are going to sell for 10 million quid. Mm-hmm. But that's that. By this time next month, we are likely to have neither of them in the team.
Yeah. And Denier, you know, may be in the Man City 25-man squad. Because he's been with them in pre-season training. And you know, the only way, if they decide he's not ready for it, you know, it'll be, I think it'll come into your 3-day transfer window, yeah. Harry. You know, where they name their 25-man squad and they say, right, he's going out on loan. We might have 2 days to see if we can get him, but, you know, I think they'll maybe want him to play down there this year. Yeah. I don't see him coming back.
If Celtic qualify for the Champions League, they might. But if they don't, they won't.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So we've gone through that. We've got three positions left to go. First, second and third.
You missed fourth.
No, fourth was Denier.
Oh, so it was, sorry. I forgot about that.
So fourth was Denier. So we've got first, second and third to go. So, you know, so Lackey, your guess, please, on... In reverse order, third, second, first.
I would say the goalkeeper would be third. Johansson would be second and Scott Brown would be first.
Remy?
I know with this being the Celtic underground that Johansson will be first. I'll go for Gordon second and Brown third.
Okay, well, in some ways you're both right on Gordon anyway, because we have a tie for second place. Craig Gordon and Scott Brown.
Oh, there you go. Look at the play.
There was only, where is it? Virtually everybody had Johansson. Everybody bar three people out of the 17, the panel of 17, only three people didn't have Johansson first or second.
Well, I know who one of them is.
Yeah. In fact, sorry, four people. Four people didn't have Johansson first or second. Yourself, and we gave Lawrence a vote. And yourself and Lawrence both had Johansson in exactly the same position.
I had him fifth, in case people are thinking I had him 10th or 11th. I had him fifth.
So maybe you are neck and neck with him and Stokes as to who to put in 10th place. him, Stokes and McGregor, it was a toss up. So Lackey, you went for Gordon. So Gordon and Brown in joint second place. So give us your critique on Craig Gordon.
Well, I think he just was terrific. The only game I can remember being really disappointed was the first game against Inter Milan, but he did make two quite grotesque errors for a goalkeeper of his ability. But for the rest of the season, he was outstanding. And week in, week out, when he was called upon to make a save, he did. And for a goalkeeper, that's what you could ask.
Remy, Craig Gordon?
Best signing last season. Got to tip your hat to Stevie Woods.
Yeah.
For taking him through the training and recommending that we sign him.
When Klopp went for Kilmarnock goalkeepers.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. I think I've used this line before, but he was the only player that ever got fit at Murray Park. It's obviously going out to a much bigger audience now, so hopefully it'll be all right. But he was, you know, let's be honest, everybody knew he was a good keeper, but the doubts were his fitness and his fragility. You know, and for a keeper to have virtually 2 years out of the game is a cause for concern. I mean, we all knew Foster was going, but I think a lot of people thought that Gordon was coming in as a backup keeper. But there was no doubt he was coming in as a number one. And I think he proved every doubter and sceptic 100% wrong. He had an absolutely phenomenal season. As Lackey says, the only game he had a bad one was Inter Milan.
And that was ironic, actually, because, you know, if it wasn't for Craig Gordon, we'd have beaten Milan 3-0.
But the other thing is, if it wasn't for Craig Gordon, we wouldn't have been playing Inter Milan.
Yes.
Because he absolutely carried us through the group stages. He was undoubtedly our player of the season in European games. And he had, even through the sort of the dodgy patches, he was still pulling off some great saves. But he pulled off, as the team gelled and got better after the Aberdeen game, he wasn't having to do as much, but as Lackey said, he pulled off a save when he was required to. And that's the mark of a top keeper. That's the sort of things that Rab Douglas and Davy Marshall, Gordon Marshall, etc., couldn't do for us. Gordon can have nothing to do for 89 minutes, like St Johnstone away, and he'll pull it out of the fire, and he'll win you the points. He had an absolutely fantastic season, and I think it was great yesterday that he signed a new contract, and yeah, we've got him tied up for a few years. I think that's a great bit of business.
I think the only thing
I don't know if you guys remember. I mean, obviously I'm older than you, but I saw Ronnie Simpson, you know, playing for the Celtic and for the Hibs before that, and he made what you would call unorthodox saves. Like, it didn't matter which part of his anatomy he used, he'd make the save. And I think Gordon's like that. He makes, you know,
makes himself big and the ball hits a bit.
Yes. Pulled off a save like that last night. The guy whipped in. He stuck his arm out and kind of volleyball punched it away.
Yeah.
In that sense, although he's a completely different physique from Ronnie Simpson, he has this ability to make the save. It doesn't matter how he makes it. Foot, knee, head, whatever. He gets it away. And that's what I like about him.
For me, The interesting thing is about the signing of Logan Bailey was, I remember last season where Gordon talked, particularly towards the beginning of the season, about being sore after a game and not being able to train for 2 days after a game.
Yeah.
And at first, we were bringing Zaluska in. If we played one of the qualifiers, Zaluska played on the Saturday. But pretty quickly, that system had to go. Because...
Mm-hmm.
The defence didn't have enough confidence in Zaluska, and I do wonder, I don't know what you guys' thoughts are, Remy, what your thoughts are, that perhaps the signing of Logan Bailey, who has played international football for Belgium, might be that the plan might be to try and rest Gordon a bit more?
That might be the plan, but I would think that Gordon doesn't want that. I mean, I would think Gordon is now in a position that he wants to play as much as possible, but I think we did need a better backup goalie than Zaluska. I mean, he just, when he played, goals just seemed to go in. But, you know, as witness the Inverness game, Zaluska never...
Not quite felt as bad as Mark Brown.
That's true. But, you know, you look at Zaluska, I don't think Zaluska ever inspired confidence with either the defence or the support. And while he might have been a decent keeper for Dundee United, I was always terrified when he was playing for us.
He got off to a very poor start, didn't he? Did he not play against Braga and teams like that?
Oh, he did. He played against Braga and he was appalling.
He was terrible. And you don't recover from a start like that for a goal.
He also played against Utrecht when we got hammered 4-0.
Yeah, he did that.
Does anybody know where he's going?
I don't think he's gone anywhere yet. I don't think he's signed for anybody yet.
I mean, he's 33, I suppose. He's made a few bob. Being Celtic's number two, maybe doesn't
play
that first.
No, he'll be wanting to play. I mean, he's got a good few years left as a keeper. He'll definitely end up playing for somebody, but that's a good question. I don't think he's signed up with anybody yet.
How old is Craig Gordon?
I think he's 31.
Yeah, I think so.
Going by the mystique of goalkeepers, if he stayed fit, we could have a great goalkeeper for a long time. You know how they seem to mature.
He's 32. He'll be 30. He's 31st of December is his birthday, so he's 32 and a half.
Right.
Okay, I know.
He could have another 5 or 6 years of like good wing and better if he stays fit.
Yeah, and I read when we signed him a quote from Roy Keane. Apparently, this is in Roy Keane's book. He makes a comment that he always thought goalkeepers were a waste of time and a waste of space until Sunderland signed Craig Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And in his first training session, he was applauded off the training pitch.
By the other players?
By the other players.
Mm-hmm. I did that.
Now, Lackey, do you have any, talking of his fitness, do you have any concerns about Craig Gordon's fitness and his knee having been out for 2 years if Scotland go to the European Championships?
I know what you mean. I would do it in and go to the European Championships. I'd find an excuse to keep them all at home.
Remy?
Yeah, well, he's obviously he's the Scottish number one now, isn't he? He played against Ireland, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think he did. So he's obviously become the Scottish number one keeper, and that might put some more sort of weight behind your theory that he might be rested a few times. Because if he's also adding Scotland games in, then yeah, maybe we do need to rest him more. I've got no interest in international football. I don't think Scotland will qualify anyway, so hopefully it's a moot point.
Okay, well...
Did he play against Ireland?
He did.
I'm like you, I had very little interest in it. I'd assume that David Marshall played.
We could
not.
We could get on Super Scoreboard with this level of in-depth knowledge.
I mean, I got a telling off from my daughter the other day because I said, there's an international coming up. I hope none of them are playing. Oh, that is terrible.
Well, hold on a second. For everybody listening, starting lineups for Scotland. And once again, yeah, we are proving that we should be on Super Scoreboard. David Marshall started for Scotland against Ireland. Yep.
The Scotland team. Well, that's good.
Marshall, Hutton, Martin Mulgrew, Forsyth, Brown, Morrison, Richie, Maloney, Naismith, Fletcher. There's at least three of those players that if they walked into my kitchen right now, I wouldn't recognise them. So that leads us to the other joint second player, scorer of five goals last season and five assists. But for most of us, he's a great player. For one or two, principally St Anthony on our side, he doesn't fancy him. Scott Brown, lackey, extol the virtues of Scott Brown in season 2014-15.
I was surprised he'd scored five goals for a defender, what do you call these guys that play in the midfield?
A holding midfield player.
A holding midfield player, yeah.
Four in the league and one in Europe.
I think he's a magnificent player, I really do. When he's focused, sometimes there's still that wee edge of lunacy. You watch him sometimes getting involved with people and you think you should be above that now because you're better than that.
14 yellow cards, one red card.
Yeah, it's madness. There's no need for that now because he is such a good player. So much in control of his game when he's on his game. He doesn't need to get involved with dafties because that's what he does.
Remy?
He's a winner. And he's the heartbeat of the team. Mm-hmm. And it's no coincidence we improved when he came back. Mm-hmm. And I think he's not the best player in the world, but he's good enough. But he drives that team on. I know a lot of people downplay the role, but I think he's a brilliant captain. Mm-hmm. I think his teammates respect him, and he gets Celtic, and he instills what it's about and how you need to win every game with the players. I think. You know, we probably wouldn't have done as badly in Europe last year if he'd been playing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's easy, you know, it's a clear way to win if Scott Brown had been there against Maribor. But Scott Brown last night was so bad, we might not have beat Maribor.
No, he couldn't find another good player. And I only saw one of the pre-season friendlies, and it was the one against Dukla Prague.
Aye.
And he was blown out of his backside in that game. And see, for the last 20 minutes last night, I thought he was blown out of his backside.
Yeah, well, I thought his passing last night was really off. I mean, the Herald praised him, said he was one of the best players on the pitch, but his passing, as you said, was so poor, and you can't do that in European games. But I think you were right, Lackey, though. The wee edge that he's got, he was getting frustrated with himself, and he started swinging the boot, and he was lucky about three times he didn't connect. Or he was just going off. He was diving into tackles. He wasn't going to win. He was trying to leave his foot in guys and not getting them. He had a really poor game last night. It's not the norm for him. So, you know, I'm just writing off as a one-off. He cannot be as bad as that next week. But last season, I think, you know, if you pick out the one thing that epitomises him was the tackle he put in on Barry Robson at Aberdeen on our 18-yard line.
And then
five or six seconds later, he's sticking it in the back of the net at the other end.
Yeah.
Just, you know, he can run all day, and he must be horrible to play against. You know, you just, if you're even a good player will not like playing against him, because he gets in your face. He's generally hard but fair, apart from the odd moment of, I think the word you used was lunacy lackey. And he covers every blade of grass, and he hates losing. And I think he had probably his best season for Celtic last year when he came back in. I thought he had a tremendous season.
Yeah, on your lunacy point, Lackey, one of the things that I can't stand about professional footballers is when they do stuff that I was told not to do when I was playing football at 13, 14, 15, and these guys have been playing for 10 years since then. And one of the things I remember drummed into me, the guy who took us when I was playing under 15 or under 16 level was, if somebody fouls you and gets away with it, do not go running after that guy to foul him, because you'll get booked. Wait a while, or better still, ask one of your colleagues to do him.
Yep.
And one of the things that used to bug me about Scott Brown, see if a guy fouled him and got away with it. Scott Brown would be like, remember Tommy Gemmell against East Germany when he runs after East Germany and kicks him? Scott Brown, your lunacy comment, Lackey, that's just Scott Brown.
Yeah.
Used to do it. You would see him and you'd say, well, he's going to get booked now because he's just running after that guy till he fouls him. Yeah. And I would say he has largely got that out of his game. Do you not think so?
I thought there was a wee touch of it last week in Iceland. There was a wee point where he got involved with a guy who made a few bad tackles. And I was sitting watching the thing, just leave him, go away from him. Let somebody else deal with it. But there's still a wee edge to him, particularly as Remy says, if he's not on his own best form, the frustration creeps in and he tries to overcome that by effort. And sometimes that doesn't work.
Yeah, and my only concern last night was it's the third game I've seen him, or it's the only second game I've seen him in the flesh, missed the Icelandic team at Celtic Park, where I've thought he's been a bit tired. And as you say, Remy and Lackey, putting the extra effort in to compensate for his lack of match fitness, for want of a better way. And just at one point last night, you were saying, Remy, when he got away with a couple of tackles where he was getting frustrated, the one thing I did think was, I hope that's not a sign that there'll be a problem for him in 2 or 3 years' time when his ability starts to diminish, because he'll be in his early 30s.
Yeah.
And he starts kicking people at his own frustration. I know I'm looking far ahead, but just a couple of signs, getting back to your lunacy point and your point, Remy.
The thing about, you said about, he looks as though he's not fully fit in terms of his, you know, his running power and stuff. His technique is affected by that. If he's getting tired,
yeah,
he'll make more bad passes, he'll make more bad tackles.
Oh, he must have been knackered last night then going to be passing.
Yes.
Still, I've never seen him pass the ball so badly.
Steve McManus criticised the whole of the midfield for that. He said that their passing was very poor. Much the standard simply wasn't up.
Are you actually saying that there was some balanced criticism in Celtic TV last night, Lackey?
I suppose
we don't pay him anymore. So
he was taken outside and shot. He won't be back. Again.
Yes. He's been Dominic Diamond.
He came out and somebody said, Mr. McManus, if you just want to come this way, please. And he just fell off. He was in the top tier and just fell off.
I thought it was pretty good. He was summing up. He was obviously wanting the Celtic to win. But when he was offering a critique of the pattern of the game or individual performances, it was very focused. And I thought, you must be getting involved with coaching and stuff that's making you think about these things. Do you know what I mean?
Talking of balance, but obviously wanting Celtic to win, Pat Bonner on Radio Scotland last night just kept referring to we. I'm approaching the ground and Pat Bonner's talking about, well, we brought in Denier and we gave Denier first team football. Mm. And you know, the only thing you've got to be careful of, we've ended up making him a top player for Manchester City. Mm-hmm. And I thought, somebody, when they go off here for something, somebody will be taking Pat Bonner aside and saying, there's no we. Anyway, that's Brown and Gordon. So, in first place, there was only two people who didn't think he was meriting up there. And that's two people from a lesser podcast. So, yeah, so Remy, actually, I'm going to ask into Remy, why don't you think Stefan Johansson deserves to be, as he's been? We're not the only people who voted him as the best player of the season.
No, I know. This is the podcast which did vote Samaras as a player of the year 4 years in a row, is it not?
Thankfully, too.
Quite rightly. Anybody who doesn't understand why doesn't understand football in my book. So, Johansson, why right. not?
I think he's a good player, but he should be better for the position he's playing in. If you take the games he played as holding midfielder last year, mm-hmm. and he did play quite a lot, he was rotten, right? When he moved him to the sort of number 10 role, where he got to use his energy and his running power, and the goals, he started to score goals. I mean, he scored more goals last season than he'd ever scored in his whole career with Strums Godset.
13 goals last season. Our joint top scorer in European football. Quick quiz. Once you've finished your analysis of Johansson, I'll give you both time to think about it. Who was equal with Stefan Johansson, the Celtic's top goal scorer in Europe last season?
I'm going to say Skepovic.
Well, you just carry on with your Johansson review.
Right. I know it's not Stokes, but he's a poor finisher. He doesn't score anywhere near as many goals as he should. He misses a lot of one-on-ones. And his passing for that role is just not good enough. He is a very, very inconsistent passer of the ball. I mean, every game he will hit an absolutely superb pass. He can do it. It's maybe a bit like Van Dijk. He can do it, but he doesn't take care often enough to do it more often. And when you're playing in a number 10... pivotal role, you should be a much better passer than he is, and that's my main beef with him. I think he's a good player. Again, his energy levels are phenomenal. He like Brown can run all day. Must be horrible to play against. Although, Dyler now seems to have knocked out the one where he chases in the goalie and dives at him, mm-hmm. and the ball gets hammered up the park or passed past him. And he's dived at him, and he's on the deck and completely out of the game. He's taken that out of his game. So he's a young guy. He's getting more disciplined as he goes along, and he will become better, but he needs to pass the ball better. And that is my biggest criticism of him. And he's missed the amount of chances he missed last year, said to me, he's not the player of the year.
And do you know the thing that really surprises me? So yeah, you're right. He played 56 games for Celtic last season, 13 goals. His Stromsgodset, he scored 8 goals in total.
Yeah.
On his Wikipedia entry, he's 5'11.5", which I wouldn't have said. He's 6 foot.
He doesn't look it, does he?
No, he doesn't. And Celtic's second top assists last season.
Yeah, but he took the corners.
With 6 assists.
He can hit a good corner, and that's the thing. It's not that he can't pass. He can do it. He just doesn't do it often enough.
10 yellow cards.
Yeah.
Lackey, your appraisal of Stefan Johansson, the Celtic Underground Player of the Year.
I have a more positive attitude than Remy. I do recognise what he's saying. He is capable of making brilliant passes. Because I can think of some goals that were scored where there were just outstanding goals that he put in, and he does contribute more than most, but he is very guilty of making slipshod passes in the lead-up play. But I think he merited the Player of the Year overall because he played the whole season, which a lot of the players that we've talked about didn't.
56 games.
Yes, and he was always consistently involved. He never hid. And there were games where I thought he was playing a lone furrow.
What was...
There were games... I remember a couple of European ties where he did miss chances and he was still running and he was still working to close the other team down and to try and influence the game. Yeah, I thought it was terrific overall.
What was... for me, the goals that we scored on those occasions where we overturned possession at the edge of the opponent's box by pressing, and I can think of the second game, league game of the season where we beat Dundee United 6-1, where it was led by Stefan Johansson leading the pressing of the opponents.
At that time, I think he was the only player who understood Dyla's pressing game.
Yep.
And I agree with Lackey, at times he did look as if he was ploughing a lone furrow because he was driving forward to press the ball and nobody else was coming with him and they were just passing it past him and that was him out of position. So he did look bad in those occasions. But, you know, he's got a great engine and he did get back, you know, because he can run all day. And you're right, like, he did play some magnificent passes and that's it. He can do it. He needs to do it more often. But, you know, it was his first full season for us. He had a good season, but, you know, that was it for, you know, I think I had him fifth. So, you know, that's no bad.
So we've got that. The question, Lackey, who was joint top European scorer?
I think Remy's right. I think the skipper.
No. Huh? The guy who got one vote, Callum McGregor.
Oh, God, aye. Forgot about him.
Three goals. Alan McGregor, who got... How many? What did he get, a 75-year contract or something?
It's interesting that they both knew they won a lot of goals.
Callum McGregor, who now is a million miles away from our first team squad.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if he wasn't injured just now, we'd be putting him out on loan.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see him in our first team again.
No, I don't think so. And talking of who we will or won't see again, so that's the top 10. Johansson, Gordon and Brown joint second, Denier fourth, Van Dijk fifth, Beaton sixth, Griffiths seventh, Izaguirre and Commons joint eighth, with Mackay Stevens 10th, and only one person... Also, one person had Lustig in their top 10. One person, and he was 10th in their top 10. One person had Callum McGregor, and one person had Anthony Stokes.
And is that it? There's nobody else voted for? Matthews played about 40 games and didn't get a vote.
McGregor,
right?
Stokes, Forrest, Matthews got... Two people voted for Matthews in their top 10. Two right, people okay. Have Matthews in their top... So, Gordon, everybody voted for somewhere. Matthews, two people voted for. Lustig, one person had him in 10th. Izaguirre, half the people voted for. Van Dijk, everyone voted for. Denier, everyone voted for. Ambrose, nobody voted... Ambrose, Ballon d'Or, and nobody voted for him. Beaton... A place from everybody. Brown, a place for everybody. Charlie Mulgrew. There's an interesting one. Nobody voted for Charlie Mulgrew.
Didn't play enough games, though.
Yeah, but interestingly, of when Charlie Mulgrew's season finished, Charlie Mulgrew picked up an injury trying to make himself fit for the Rangers game.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
So, Stefan Johansson, everybody had a vote for. Armstrong, five people voted for. Commons, virtually everybody voted for, just everybody voted for him in 9th or 10th place. Mm. Mackay Stephen, half the people voted for. Forrest, one person had him in 10th place. Guidetti, only just behind Mackay Stephen.
Oh, really?
Stokes, one person voted for. Griffiths, two people didn't vote for. And Cal McGregor, one person voted for. That was the people who got voted for, and everybody got the full squad list. So the next question is, out of the top 10, just pick one person who you think will star for the team this season out of that top 10? And, well, give me five names that you think will be in next season's top 10, Remy.
Beaton.
Uh-huh.
Brown.
Yep.
Mackay Stephen.
Yeah.
Griffiths.
Okay.
And Lustig if he stays fit.
No, and you're allowed to put in another.
Well, going by, and you can't judge, well, going by the new signings, of the new signings so far, Boyata.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, last night, because my concern has been in the wee bits I've seen of him, a bit of laziness. And last night was the first time I saw his pace, because he made a mistake.
Yep, he chased the guy down.
Chased the guy down, won the ball back and played it back up the park.
Yep.
And the way he attacked the ball at the corner kick, if there'd been any defender between him and the goal, the ball would have still gone in the back of the net.
He was going in with him, yep.
Yes. Lackey?
Yeah.
I would say Gordon.
Uh-huh.
Gary Mackay-Stevens, if he continues to play the way he's played.
Uh-huh.
Johansson. Beaton. Brown. And I suspect Remy's right in the centre back. If he plays the way he's played so far, he'll be in the top 10. I would hope Armstrong would improve, because I think he's got more than one string to his bow. I think he's a good player.
Your concern about Armstrong is he's playing the wrong position, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's mine too. Yeah. I just don't think, and I know people, some of my mates disagree with me. They say, oh, he's played wide left for Dundee United, or wide of a three for Dundee United, but he's a good passer of the ball, and he does a lot of defensive work, and he's diligent in tracking his man, etc. But I'd rather see him being more effective going forward, and I think we're nullifying his passing ability just now.
Mm-hmm. The podcast that St Anthony did last week with Billy Stark, mm-hmm. he was singing his praises as a central midfield player.
Oh, so he would have coached him for the under 21s, didn't
he? He was the best player he'd worked with.
Maybe when we sell Beaton, Armstrong will drop in there.
You're a right cheery git tonight, aren't you?
Well, it depends because it's all geared up. They're going to sell Van Dijk. But you can only sell him if you only need a willing buyer to have a willing seller.
Yeah. Have you not heard any rumours?
Well, the only thing I've heard is that nobody.
No, the one I've heard, Southampton.
He would fit with Southampton style, I think.
Yeah, but Koeman as well would be something there for him.
How did they get on today?
Oh, they were winning 3-0 anyway. Yeah.
So very quickly, because that's long enough. So that's you giving me a handful of players for the top 10. Very quickly, Remy, your prediction of what trophies we will win this season and where we will come in Europe.
We'll win the SPL.
Uh-huh.
I would hope we win the Scottish Cup.
Uh-huh.
I would think that Mr. Dyer would have been really pissed off with what happened to him against Inverness. So I think there's a wrong to be rectified, so to speak. Europe, I'm not so bothered about the League Cup, I have to be honest. You know, it's great if it's part of the treble, otherwise I'm not really that bothered. If we're playing in the Champions League with League Cup games, I would just play the youth players in the reserves, just write it off. Europe, oh God, I really, really hope we're playing in the Champions League. I think we're good enough to get past Karabag. I think we'll score over there, and although they passed the ball about quite neatly, they didn't have a lot of attacking threat. They didn't look as if they could cut us open too easily. So, and we have a massive height advantage of them. So, yeah. You know, I think set pieces again could be key for us next week. After that, you're just praying. You know, if we get there, you're praying for a good draw and Champions League back there. And if we get in the Champions League, I'd be really hoping we could get into third place and sneak into the Europa League after Christmas.
Wow. Interesting, we were one of only three teams on Tuesday and Wednesday who won at home in the Champions League.
Yeah, and I think and clean sheet as well. I think it was only two teams kept a clean sheet. I think it was us in Salzburg.
Yep, only two teams with a clean sheet and winning at home, and three teams won at home. Lackey, your expectations for your for this season?
Much the same as Rennie's. I still am not convinced that we're good enough to play in the Champions League. But like last season, I like the idea of the money. But as long as we get through this tie, we'll be guaranteed European football. And I think that's important. I'd hate to think they didn't have either Europa League or the Champions League.
That'd be dire. And of course, the problem we've got is the quality of player that's going to enhance us for Champions League football is only going to come in that, as you say, Remy, my 3-day window of when we play Champions League football. So,
can I just ask the host for his predictions for the season?
I think we'll win the league. I'm the same as you. I think what Dyla did for the League Cup is what Martin O'Neill did and what Gordon Strachan both did, which is in your first season, make sure you win the first trophy you play for.
Mm-hmm.
And if we play Champions League football, I expect him to rest players for the League Cup and not care about it and bother about the League Cup if we are playing in it in the semi-final and the final.
Mm-hmm.
And Europe, if we can score away against Carragher, they need to score three goals. So I think we'll go through, and the likely opponents thereafter are probably not as good as them. So Champions League football, and then it's
a luck of the draw.
It's a luck of the draw, and as you say, Remy, if we can get third, I think that's our ideal. Our ideal is getting to the Champions League and finishing third, and getting European football post Christmas. From finishing third in the Champions League,
it just makes it such a much better season.
Yeah,
you know, it's the, you know, the European nights are you know, okay, we can be up our own backsides about the greatest fans in the world, and hey, look, everybody loves us. But you know, it is they are fantastic occasions, and you know, you see players of a real, real high quality that you know, we don't see week in, week out, and it makes the season.
But you don't want to be getting horsed in it.
No, we don't. But, you know, if Dyla is going to get better players, he needs to be in the Champions League to get some money to get those players.
Mm-hmm.
It might only be loanees from EPL cast-offs or whatever, but, you know, we will get better players if we get in the Champions League.
And he summed it up perfectly when he said about us benefiting from Denier, because it was only when he said this that I thought, you're spot on. The benefit of Denier coming to Celtic for Celtic is if he's playing for Manchester City in the Champions League next season and he's playing for Belgium, when we are selling Celtic, we can say this is a club that if you come to, you can end up playing in the Premier competition for one of the world's wealthiest teams.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, very briefly, final thing, what's the score going to be on Saturday? Remy?
We're playing Lawrence's favourite team, Ross County, and I don't know what it is about them. We always tend to beat them, but we seem to struggle against them. They're usually quite stuffy and hard to break down, so it may be a bit like last night's game. So I'll say 2-0.
And Lackey?
If Celtic scored earlier, we'll win comfortably. But if it went like the one we went to before the new year last year, because the longer the game went on, the less likely it looked as though Celtic would score. It could be a tough day.
Do you not think, with it being flag day, that tends to a bit overwhelm some of the lesser clubs sometimes?
And we played them in flag day a couple of years ago, and we only beat them 2-1. I think Stokes scored the winner near the end.
Yes.
You know, the only thing we've got is, you know, as well as it, we're, I don't know what day they're flying out, but I'm assuming they're flying out on Sunday.
Yep.
So again, you get a few or a few of them going to sort of go, well, I'm not going for that tackle because I want to be in the flight tomorrow. You know, you've always, you know they're professionals and they shouldn't do that, but, you know,
it's human nature.
Yeah, it's human nature.
You don't know what team you'll play because of that.
I think he'll play his strongest team because it's the first game of the season.
But I think he'll give Lustig a rest so that he's fit for Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So he'll give either Janko or Fisher right back.
He looks a good player, the Janko guy. But I like Fisher.
I think, and if you take the pre-season games, and I went to the three games at Love Street just for the sort of just because it was something different, you know, and mm-hmm. seeing us playing home games at a different stadium and small ground, etc. Fisher was far better in the pre-season games than Lustig. You know, I know Lustig's a far better player, but Lustig still looks a bit off it to me. Mm-hmm. So he needs to play games, but I don't think he doesn't look as if he played maybe two games a week. So I think he might rest Lustig on Saturday, and obviously we won't have the Griffiths Chifchi debate because
that's a fairly straightforward
one on Saturday, so Skepovic is guaranteed to start.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the other two questions is, to whom are we selling Skepovic and Stokes? Because patently the manager doesn't fancy them at all.
I think Skepovic will probably go back to Spain. Whether it's a loan thing, I don't know. Stokes, I'm assuming somebody like Leeds or Huddersfield or somebody like that will come in for him again, and we'll offload him for 850 grand or a million or something like that.
Stokes is an interesting one, because if you were to look at him and look at Griffiths, he actually has more ability than Griffiths. You know, technical ability.
He does, and he's played at a lot higher level than Griffiths. But he doesn't have... He can't make any position his own. No. And, you know, he's just one of these guys. He looks a better player when he plays against you. I think he's not consistent enough to play for Celtic. And he's had enough chances in Europe that you know he can't do it at that level. So, you know, and he couldn't do it against Rangers when they were in the Premier League as well. He couldn't get a game and lend his team against them. So he's not a big game player. And I think his time's up. And it's obvious, as you say, Harry, he's not even getting a sniff in the team just now. Even against the Icelandic teams and stuff like that. So he's got to go.
Okay, on that cheery note for Anthony Stokes, I will say well done to Stefan Johansson. Let's see who's winner of a top 10 for next season. And Remy and Lackey, thanks very much. Cheers.
No problem. Thanks for the invite.
Okay, cheers.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
So there you go, you'll have heard to Remy McSween's consternation that Stefan Johansson, along with many other parts of the Celtic diaspora who voted, has been elected as the Celtic Underground Player of the Year season 2014-15. Scott Brown and Craig Gordon were a joint second, and we went through the other players. It'll be interesting to see whether the predictions of the guys, of the players who will be important in the 2015-16 season, come true. Hopefully, we're playing Champions League football, and hopefully that playing of Champions League football allows us to bring in somebody or two who end up getting in the top two or three next season, because that would mean we'd enhance the squad. But enough from me. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. You can tweet us if you wildly disagree with where we are. If you're Callum McGregor's mum and dad, we do apologise. It's nothing personal. If you're Anthony Stokes' barber, again, we apologise. This is me, Harry Brady, saying enjoy the coming season. God bless and good night. Good night.
Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.